You know, we were singing that song, you know, about, you know, walking around these walls. It seems like, man, when is this going to end? And some of us get weary in doing good, you know, but the Bible says do not grow weary in doing good, for in due season you will reap. Our job is just stay connected, you know, to the eyes of Jesus, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Amen? You know, and there may be some suffering in the middle, but it's going somewhere. Church, the suffering that we're going through is going somewhere. Suffering is never wasted in the Lord. We've sang all the time that what the enemy uses for evil, he will turn it around for your good. And let me just say, these are times of uncertainty. And so it is necessary to remain focused on God's last command. And if God, let me just say this, if God has not called you clearly to do something else, then you need to do what he last told you to do. You're like, there's some haziness. I don't know what to do right now. Do what he last told you to do. So he's told us to be devoted. And let me tell you something. We have this microwave mentality. You know, we have this generations, you know, that are entitled and they want everything quickly. You know, we hear people, these millennials, when they get to a job, they expect quick promotions. They expect, you know, to get all the resources and to get everything they want. And if they don't get it, they just go to the next job. People used to stay in jobs for an average of like 10 years. Now the average keeps dropping. It's like 5 years. Hey, if I'm not getting what I need out of this job, I'm out of here. You know, we're not willing to sow. But let me tell you something. In the things of God, listen to me. And some of you, you may not know about this fable. Everybody know about the tortoise and the hare? In the things of God, the tortoise always wins. Because everything that God does, because it's eternal, it takes time to build. There's a foundation, there's a sediment that God builds. So we need to be like the tortoise. There's some people that run. This is the young, you know, they run, but they said they grow weary. This is, but those that wait on the Lord, right? They will renew their strength, right? They will lift up their wings like eagles, right? They will walk and not grow weary, run and not grow faint. That is who we are. We're in the midst of many challenges. And let me tell you, when the church first started in the book of Acts, it was like a new concept. You know, we're used to church being church. We've been doing church like this the same way like in the last 100 years, right? We come in, we pray, we do worship. You know, we have some offering, you know, communion, some announcements. We do a message, and then we pray for people, and then we go, okay. We've been doing church the same way, and we kind of like our patterns. But, you know, when the church first started in the book of Acts, it was a brand new concept. Right? Jesus said, wait up here in the upper room until I send my Holy Spirit. It says they were baptized with the Holy Spirit. They went out speaking in tongues. 3,000 men got saved. And boom, there's a bunch of people to disciple. And now we got to get going with church. But it was a brand new concept. You know, they were meeting in homes. They were meeting in public spaces, in a synagogue or in the courtyard of the temple to pray and to teach the word. And you know what? There was much persecution. There was much affliction in the time. And the ministry began to get complex, right? When you only have 12, you know, there's not much complexity. When you have 3,012, you know, plus families, it gets very complex really quick. So there was new horizons for the church. There was new challenges that came forward as the gospel grew in the region. So I'm going to read, you know, out of Acts chapter 5. And we're going to read from chapter 5 and chapter 6. That's going to be the focus of our message today. And this is going to serve as the background for the 3 points that I want to tell you. Because we're called to be devoted. What does it mean devoted? To intently, you know, be diligent. You know, do what we're supposed to be doing. Right? God has not changed, you know, his message. He hasn't changed his mandate for the church. Our job is still to make disciples, to preach the gospel to every nation. Right, to send people out, to raise them up, amen, to baptize people, to lay hands on the sick, right, but ultimately so they may have a relationship with Jesus. We are to be devoted to these things, no matter what happens, no matter if there's a COVID-19, no matter if there's racial unrest, no matter if there's an election, you know, coming up, no matter if there's turmoil in the world, if there's earthquakes, if there's famines, you know, anything like that, the gospel must go forward. You know, Peter said that if there's any way to hasten Jesus' return, is by preaching the gospel to every person in the world. Right? So if you want Jesus to come up sooner, then we need to get out there. We need to pray for laborers, Jesus said, because the harvest is ready. And we need to make sure that every tribe and nation, every type of people, we need to reach people of every language and ethnicity out there for the gospel. So let's go to Acts chapter 5 and see what was happening. It's a lot of reading, so because I want to give you enough background. Is that okay that we read the word in church, that we are devoted to the word in church? Here we go. It says, the captain went with his temple guards and arrested the apostles, but without violence, for they were afraid the people would stone them. Then they brought the apostles before the high council, where the high priest confronted them. We gave you strict orders never again to teach in this man's name. Come on, does that sound familiar? Isn't that going on right now? He said, instead, you have filled all Jerusalem with your teaching about him, and you want to make us responsible for his death. But Peter and the apostles replied, listen to this, we must obey God rather than any human authority, rather than man, right? Says another scripture. And you know what's going on in California, right? Before we're like, we kind of feel like the church is being silenced. They're telling us not to meet, not to congregate. We can't do this, we can't do that because, social distancing. And we were kind of feeling that they were trying to, test the ground for really shutting up the Christians. But then when they actually told the people of California under the mandate by Governor Newsom, you cannot sing. Now we're like, okay, we knew it. We knew that this is where it was all going, right? So the people of California, they're like, uh-uh. I mean, you've heard from, Sean Foyt, from Bethel. He's doing worship services in the beaches and in parks and, all over the place. You have John MacArthur stood up and he said, look, no, we're going to meet. And he says, we're not telling people come. He says, they're just coming. They're like, no. They're just like, we're going to be bold. Isn't it awesome that we're singing that song, You Make Me Brave? How many know that the church needs to be brave at this hour? We need the boldness of the Holy Spirit. I'm telling you, if you have the choice to come here or stay at home, I think it's better here. Let me just tell you. The anointing is stronger here. You don't get distracted. There's something about the congregation of the saints. We have social distancing. So I wore my mask. I'm giving everybody elbows. We do what the government's telling us to a degree. But we must obey God rather than men. Amen. Hallelujah. There was a time we talked about the news because they had a devotion to truth, didn't we? Like, reporters, their job is to tell the truth. It used to be like that. You know where the reporters get the news now? Twitter. It's like, look at what this guy said in Twitter, and look at what this person replied in Twitter, and then this person replied this in Twitter, and then this person replied this in Facebook. That's the news? Really? Go out there and grab some news. Do like a report like you used to do before. We need truth, not just what our people saying. Amen. Verse 30. The God of our ascension raised Jesus from the dead after you killed him by hanging him on a cross. Then God put him in the place of honor at his right hand as Prince and Savior. Hallelujah. He did this so the people of Israel would repent of their sins and be forgiven. Hallelujah. That's us. We are witnesses of these things, and so it is the Holy Spirit who is given by God to those who obey him. Hallelujah. When they heard this, the high council was furious. Come on. How many know there's an Antichrist spirit out there? Oh, he was there in that place too. And decided to kill them. But one member, a Pharisee named Gamaliel, hallelujah, thank God for the wisdom of God and men, who was an expert in religious law and respected by all the people, stood up and ordered that the men be sent outside the council chamber for a while. Then he said to his colleagues, men of Israel, take care what you're planning to do to these men. Some time ago, there was that fellow Theudas who pretended to be someone great. About 400 others joined him, but he was killed, and all of his followers went their various way, disbanded. The whole movement came to nothing. How many know our movement is a little different? They killed our shepherd, and this thing has just exploded. They persecuted the church, and it just keeps exploding. Anytime there's persecution, there's a pressing of the olives, the gospel continues to spread to all the corners of the world. You can't stop this because this is a thing of God. Hallelujah. After him, at the time of the census, there was a Judas of Galilee. He got people to follow him, but he was killed too, and all his followers were scattered. So my advice is, leave these men alone. Let them go. If they're planning on doing these things merely on their own, it will soon be overthrown. But if it is from God, you will not... Oh, listen. But if it is from God, we need to just say this. But if it is from God, you will not be able to overthrow them. You may even find yourselves fighting against God. Hallelujah. I want to be on God's side. And like I said last week, and I keep saying on Wednesday, if you're doing what you're supposed to be doing, if you're serving the Lord, you're not leaving this earth until God's done with you. No COVID-19 can get you. Come on. No racial unrest. I continue to pray Psalm 91 over you, and I will keep saying it because I believe if we proclaim God's truth, if we quote the scripture to God, God loves it. He's like, thank you. Yes, quote the scripture to me. I like it. That's what I said. I will stand by it. It says that 1,000 will fall, you know, to your side, 10,000 to your right side, it says. But for those that make the Lord their refuge, it says the plague will never touch your doorstep. Hallelujah. It says he will send his angels and give him charge over you wherever you go. Hallelujah. You are protected. As long as you're doing what you're supposed to be doing, don't tempt God. Going on in some other direction. But if you're serving God, if you're seeking God, if you're crying out to God, God says, I got you. Right? Because he's setting you free for a destiny. Hallelujah. There's a people that only you can reach. So we must be about our Father's business. We must be devoted. Devoted. That's why I had a picture, you know, of a man plowing. It just seemed, oh, one guy, a huge field, it takes forever. But you know what? He knows that if he's diligent, you know, like in the movie, the Remember the Titans, is like Novocaine, just give it some time. It always works. It always works. It just takes time, but it's going to yield good fruit. When we sow seed of the gospel, people are going to, you know, be saved. If we invest in people, you know, Jesus didn't invest in thousands. He just focused on those 12. If I just take care of these 12s, if I empower these 12s, if I give them my example, if I let them close to me, and then I empower with the Holy Spirit, then watch out. And those 12 men, it just exploded exponentially from that point on. So we must be devoted, you know, to the Great Commission. Amen? Hallelujah. The others accepted his advice. They called in the apostles and had them flogged. Then they ordered them never again to speak in the name of Jesus, and they let them go. Whew, suffering for Christ. But look at this. The apostles left the high council rejoicing that God had counted them worthy to suffer disgrace for the name of Jesus. We're going to suffer anyway. Might as well suffer for Jesus. Right? Like people say, oh, it's so hot, it's so humid. You're going to sweat anyway. Might as well sweat for Jesus. Hallelujah. You know? Doing something worthwhile. The apostles of the high council rejoiced that God had come worthy to suffer this grace in the name of Jesus. And every day in the temple and from house to house. See that? From the temple right here and from house to house. They continued to teach and preach the message. What? That Jesus is the Messiah. Hallelujah. Church was happening. The disciples were moving powerfully in the power of God, and Jesus was being declared the Messiah. They were devoted to God and to the cause. Their obedience had pinpoint accuracy and brought much fruit. Early in the chapter, it says the high rulers, Pharisees, and Sadducees were filled with awe because they were ordinary men. They were just everyday people like you and me. But they could tell that they had been with Jesus. When I get up here, people, I pray that God, I want people to know that I've been with you, that I'm not just getting up here regurgitating, you know, copy the message online and just get up here and sound good. No, I want people to know that I've spent time with you, that I've been with Jesus, that the anointing, you know, will speak louder than any words that I can say. You know that I could say any simple words, but when it's anointed, God can translate it into exactly what you need. People come up to you, thank you for saying that word about this and that, and like, that really spoke to me. It's like, I said that? That was not my focus of my message. I don't remember even saying that. Because the Holy Spirit knows what you need. He'll get you that message. Hallelujah. So many people were being saved. They were delivered from demons, healed of every type of disease. You know, cancer used to be the, ooh, cancer. Cancer is like the toughest, you know, sickness to heal or something like that. Now it's COVID or something like that. We always think that there's some spirit or some disease that's greater than God's power. There is no power greater than God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You ever see that doctor on the news? Yeah, I think she's from Nigeria. And God said, every person I've treated gets healed. I don't know if it's the hydrochloroquine and the Z-Pack and all the stuff that she's doing, or the fact that she's just an anointed woman, because she's a pastor too. And people are trying to discredit her at this hour, but I keep seeing that there was another, you know, strong believer in Dallas, Texas that said, hey, I've been giving people, you know, budesonide, which is what they give asthmatic, you know, patients, and they seem to all get better, you know, as you couple it with other treatments. You know, it's because it's anointed, it's blessed. Hallelujah. God can use it. There is nothing that God can't heal or can't turn around. So let's come into our purpose, into our alignment. But let me tell you something. All this stuff that we're talking about, it came at a cost. There were troubles from every side. There was pain. But God delivered them powerfully. So why? So they could fulfill their mission. It says that they put him in jail. An angel came and opened the jail. And they took Peter again and put him in jail. And an angel came back and got him out of jail. You know, it's like you cannot stop a man who's on a mission until his mission is done. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I want you to understand that the church has always been there some type of persecution. You and I have a legacy of martyrdom. There's people that die, that give up their lives, that surrender their fortunes, that surrender their livelihood. You know, they walked away from their families so you and I could be here. We need to be appreciative of that. Satan has always opposed the message of salvation. He doesn't want it to land on the soft soil of our hearts. Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 17, "For our present troubles are small and won't last very long." Yeah, no, you can, or maybe we can just say, add a little caption, relatively, you know, small and won't last very long. After all the stuff that he suffered, right? He was stoned, he left for dead, and yet they produce for us, listen, yet they produce for us a glory that vastly outweighs them and will last forever. When you're suffering, when you're going through all this discomfort, it's going somewhere. God is pressing you like olives so that this greater anointing will be there for the next move of the church. We're at the threshold, people. We're the threshold of something amazing, you know, and so God is using this. God can use the same event to judge some people and another event to prepare some people, to get the attention of some people, right? There's some people that are like, maybe I should go search about God. You know, I should turn to God. God used examples. Ananias and Sapphira, right? They lied to the Holy Spirit. This is in the New Testament, people, where people say, oh, Jesus doesn't judge people anymore. No, he judged. There's still judgment out there. And boom, they fell dead. So because they lied to the Holy Spirit. But it says that everybody else said, whoa, we need to walk a little straighter, right? We need to be a little more holy. You know, this God is not just compassionate and loving. He's also holy. He's also holy. And I really believe because they're in the midst of revival, whenever God, the Holy Spirit is moving the strongest, he requires for us to walk a little straighter. Does that make sense? So right now, he's causing you to lose an appetite for some things that before you said, I could never let go of those things. Now you're partaking of those things that used to fill you, and you're like, you know what, that doesn't fill me anymore. The only thing that fills me is the presence of God. The only thing that really does something for me. I used to escape with a movie. Now the movie, just another movie, you know, or that show, or hanging out, going to this place or that place. Whatever used to fill you, realize that it's a nice thing to do, but it's not what really fills you. Because as God is moderating our appetites in this season, that's what he's doing. He's removing some things, those things that so easily beset us, those tethers to this world. So you just need to say, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord, I'm okay. I'll go for the ride. Hallelujah. So we want to harvest. We want to see the real Jesus and the real church stand up. It's the end times right now. We're in the end times, people. And if you're walking straight, it should be encouragement to you. It's the people that are not walking straight that are like, ooh, I don't know if I'm ready for this. So this is your opportunity to get ready. Our present troubles are small in comparisons, but they're producing in us a glory that vastly outweighs them. God is using every form of suffering to get you in alignment, to get your eyes off the lust of the eyes, right? The lust of the flesh and the pride of life, right? What used to satisfy you no longer does. You've been ruined by the presence of God. Hallelujah. The things of earth, like the song says, will grow strangely dim in the light of his wonderful love. Or something like that. I may have just changed the lyrics. You know, he wants us to live in a supernatural plane. So this God allows our God times of trying and suffering. God is sovereign. He cares more about your development, about your character, about your integrity, about your faith, than about your comfort. Right? But I don't like it, God. Well, people say, you can do it the easy way or the hard way. Most of us don't do it the easy way. Let's just be honest. you know. It says, you can let the fall on the rock or let the rock fall on you, you know. I'd rather fall on the rock. But sometimes, you know, we just like, oh, Lord, can we just do it the easy way? You know, just, can't just, Holy Spirit, just come upon me and and make me do things. So when the governmental persecution comes, you will be able to stand firmly and say, I must obey God rather than men. And I'm telling you, it's going to come. Sooner or later, it's going to come. It's happened in other countries, and people are probing. They're trying to write laws, right? There's very crafty lawyers, loopholes, things that mute the Christians to restrain you, to make you pay for things that you don't believe in, right? They're working on it. It happened in the days of Daniel and Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, right? It says that they erected a statue. Hey, if you don't bow down to it, right? You're going to get killed. We're going to throw you into the fire furnace. The cool thing is that Jesus was there with them, and it says that they weren't touched by the fire. I'm telling you, if you are doing what you're supposed to do, no COVID, no fire, nothing can touch you. So let's be about our Father's business. Let's be devoted to the call. So going back to our passage, now we're going to move to chapter 6. Everybody say chapter 6? Okay. So it says, let's read about the challenges of the church in more practical terms. But as the believers rapidly multiplied, that's good, multiplication. We all want multiplication, right? There were rumblings of discontent. The Greek-speaking believers complained about the Hebrew-speaking believers, say that their widows were being discriminated against in the daily distribution of food. Right? The bigger the church, the more organization that you need, right? Like they did in the desert. So the 12 called a meeting of all the believers. They got together and said, okay, we apostles should spend our time teaching the word of God. Another way to say that, we should devote ourselves to the word of God, not running a food program. And so, brothers, select 7 men who are well-respected and are full of the Spirit and wisdom. We will give them this responsibility. Then we apostles can spend our time in what? In prayer and teaching the word. So we're to be devoted to prayer and to the word. To prayer and to the word and to serving. Everyone liked this idea. You know, when it's of God, hallelujah, there's agreement, there's a blessing. And they chose the following: Stephen, a man full of faith and the Holy Spirit. You know, some people think that deacons are like lesser Christians or something like that. No, that's not what the Bible says. They were role players. We're going to let the apostles and these elders focus on the word and teaching and preaching. And we're going to take care of all the details, you know. And that's why God gave some people to the church that have gifts of service and gifts of help and administration and leadership, organization and security and ushers and welcome center and all the things that we need, and nursery and children's ministry, so that the message of the gospel can be preached, you know, without hindrance, right? So that's what's happened here. Philip, Prochorus, Nicanor, Timon, Parmenas, and Nicholas of Antioch, an early convert to the Jewish faith, these 7 men were presented to the apostles who prayed for them as they laid their hands on them. They blessed them. They commissioned them. So God's message continued to spread. That's what happens. The number of believers greatly increased in Jerusalem, and many of the Jewish priests were converted too. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let's say, higher levels, bigger devils, or something like that. You know, as you increase, you got more complex, you know, situations and solutions that God will give you. But God will always give you, you know, the means to grow the way He wants us to grow. So I have 3 points to give you, you know, for the rest of the message. Number one, we must devote ourselves to the Word. We got to devote ourselves to the Word. You know, if you don't know what else to do, you need to have a Word life. It's not a question. You're not going to make it. You're not going to make it if you don't have a word life. You need to get into the Bible app and get into a year, you know, Bible in a year or a Bible in 2 years or something like that. But you need to have, you know, the daily reading of the Word. And you need to have a place where you study the Word. Not just read it, but study it, meditate on it, get around other believers, you know, like a connection group or something like that. 2 Timothy 2:15 says, work hard. In other words, be devoted so you can present yourself to God and receive His approval. Be a good worker, hallelujah, servant, who does not need to be ashamed, and who correctly explains the word of truth. Some of us want to regurgitate it. We want the preacher, we want the teacher to always tell us what it means. And God says, as you delve more into it, all of a sudden the themes of the Scripture, the symbolism of the Scripture, you know, the timeline of the Scripture, and what God's trying to say, because there's themes that run from Genesis all the way to Revelation. And as you eat of it, you know, every year I read the Bible, you know, I started, and I try to change versions. I've done New King James, I've done NIV, I've done Spanish, I've done New Living Translation, I'm doing A and ASB. You know, I try to change it up, and I try to go to the Greek, and I try to go to the Hebrew. I'm trying to, you know, find those nuggets in the Scripture every year, because I want to have, you know, the word for you every time that's anointed. And I pray about it so that God will help you to understand it. Hebrews 5:12 says, you've been believers so long that you ought to be teaching others. Instead, you need someone to teach you again the basic things about God's word. Where God is calling us, he needs us all to be busy in our word, right? We need to be devoted. So if there's nothing else, you know what to do. Don't tell me like you have so many things to do, you have so many hobbies. Because they turn all those things off right now. This is a perfect time to build that habit. Are you going to go to the movies? You know, you're going to take the kids to the football game? Right? You're going to go to the gym? It's like God saying, hello, I'm helping you here. I'm removing some of those distractions for you. Get into the Word. Get your own Bible. Right? And I was getting a little uncomfortable in here. And it's okay, I was in that place. I remember when I was a young person, I would go to all these conferences and they would say, okay, how many of you are going to read the Bible every day? And I was like, yeah, I will do it. And I would do it for like a week or two. And then I would drop off. And then I was like, and I feel terrible, right? But you know what? Eventually it took. This good disciplines take time to build. Don't feel ashamed. You miss a day, do it the next day. Just don't read like 7 chapters on Saturday for the whole week. Don't do that. It's better to read a little bit every day, you know, get into something. Do it together with somebody. We have like a YouVersion, you know, group, and all of us, you know, we can see who's reading, who's not. You know, as a pastor, I'm like, you know. But it's good to see. It encourages me. I see all these people that are trying. They're getting in there. I don't call them. It's like, hey, you missed yesterday. What's going on? You know, I don't do that. You know, when somebody else jumps on the group, I get excited that people are reading it. Right? It took me a while to get there. I'm you know, God was very gracious and forgiving and patient with me. You know, I want to be the same. But I'm telling you, you need to have an attitude that like, I'm going to get into the Word. Maybe you used to have it and you lost it. Well, get back into it. This is the time. All right? Young people, find a version that's easy to read. I wouldn't recommend these days to King James. The thou's and the spoketh, you know, thy countenance and all that stuff is going to be difficult to understand in today's vernacular. You know, I know it's just the young people we deal with today. Elder Ryan is just, I think they have a smaller vocabulary, I think. You know, it's a lot of cool and yeah, awesome, you know. I'm just picking on you guys. You know, but fine, huh? Right, everything's abbreviated. You know, LOL and, you know, OMG or what is it? Right, so I don't think there's a Bible that does it just yet, by the way. You got to get yourself at least. I would recommend New Living Translation, NIV, or something like NASB. All right. Without the Word, you cannot think like God does. The only way to align yourself to the realities, the truth of God, is to consume His Word consistently. As nutrition is to health, worth life is our key to spiritual health. Otherwise, you'll be easily deceived. The Bible says you'll be tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine, like children, right? And there's some people that, oh, that preacher just sounds so good, you know, but did you get into the Word to see what he's saying? There was a people in a place called Berea, the Bereans, and Paul praised them. I praise the Bereans because when I tell them, you know, about the Scriptures, they look at the scroll and go, oh, yeah, that's in there. All right, good. You know, he's not lying to us. He's not making it up as he goes along or something like that. You know, it is in the Word. They were checking on him. Right? We need to do some accountability on the preacher. Get into the Word. You know, there's people that can run every day and have a heart attack at 50 because they didn't have the right nutrition. You can't just do exercise. You got to put in your body the right stuff. Right? Come on, NCOs. Where are my NCOs? I've seen some very unfit NCOs out there. Come on. You know, they're running every day, but they ain't eating very well. Come on. I see First Sergeant doing push-ups every day on Facebook, you know. When he speaks to you, will always be in line with his word. He will speak through his word, and he will confirm it through his word through different people and avenues. Always in alignment. God doesn't change his tune. There's no new doctrine. There's no like a new way. There's not a new Jesus or a new doctrine that angels can all of a sudden drop on us. He told us to be weary of that. If an angel were to appear or somebody say, I'm the new Jesus, listen to this. Here's a new way of doing church. But the old way, like universalism, and people are just falling off the wagon because they began to teach things that are not in the scripture. He's not a man that he should lie, right? His word is his bond. So it says, heaven and earth will pass away, but it says, my word will never pass away. It will never fall to the ground. It will always fulfill what it was, you know, what was said. Amen? Point number two, devote yourself to prayer. You need to have a prayer life. Some people have an easy time reading, but a hard time praying. Some people like praying, but they don't like the reading. You need to couple them both, because something happens. There's a synergy. Romans chapter 1, verses 9 and 10. Look at what Paul says. God knows how often I pray for you. This is intercession. Day and night I bring you and your needs in prayer to God, whom I serve with all my heart. That's devotion, devoted by spreading the good news about his son. One of the things I always pray for is the opportunity, God willing, to come at last to see you. Oh, he loved the people. But you know why? Reading the word, right, and praying are the what. Or it could be the how, but the why was, I got to get the gospel out, right? Why do I commit myself to reading the word and to praying and seeking God and worshiping and serving as much as I can? Because of you guys. Because of you guys, because we love you, because I want to present you, as Paul said, I want to present you mature. I want to present you perfect as the word calls you before him. And that God will say, thank you. The Shiloh preached a sound doctrine. And they not only preached it, but they lived it. And they walked out. And we could see their impact in the community. That the fragrance of the gospel would go into every home. You know, it's something that emanates from us. When we've been with them, like I told you, people can tell it. And the Holy Spirit will go ahead of us and do work. And prepare the way, prepare the soil. And then when we arrive, people are ready to be plucked. That whatever you do in secret, the Bible says, he will reward you openly. Go into your closet and spend time with him in the word and in prayer. Hallelujah. I feel the anointing of God right now. 1 Samuel chapter 10, verse 6. It says, at that time, the Spirit of the Lord will come powerfully upon you, and you will prophesy with him. You will be changed into a different person. You know, when you have a life devoted to prayer, the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and all of a sudden, you're thinking differently. You're acting differently. Things just come out of your mouth. How you see transformation everywhere you go. This was said from Samuel to King Saul, a man who was timid. He was taller and a good-looking man above all his brothers and everybody in Israel. He was from the tribe of Benjamin. But it says he was afraid. But Samuel says, hey, when you go into the company of the prophets, right? And it says, and when you're among them, something's going to happen. Something's going to get stirred inside of you. Hallelujah. And then you begin to prophesy, and it says, and you will be changed into another person. You want transformation in your life? You need to have a time of prayer. And there's something that happens. I'm telling you, you know, we need to allow the prophetic to grow at Shiloh. I really believe that God wants us to be a church that allows words like this that came forth, you know, all the time. Because the Holy Spirit is speaking, and he has, you know, raised up leaders among us to speak. And something happens when you're around the prophetic. You begin to be stirred. Did you know that the whole scripture is prophecy fulfillment, prophecy fulfillment, prophecy fulfillment? All of the scripture, in most of them have been fulfilled, but there's still a number of prophecies that have not yet been fulfilled. Hallelujah. The next major event, guess what's going to be? The rapture. Hallelujah. It's coming. It's coming, and we want to be ready. But check this out. So on Thursday, my wife was talking about the parking lot prayer. We've been praying for a month. We felt as we met as a group, you know, even months ago, we began to meet over Zoom. It's like, what are we going to do? Are we going to do BBS or not? Are we going to do BBS or not? We're praying and coming up with ideas. And finally, after much discussion, as a group, as a team, we felt the Holy Spirit just give us a release and said, hey, you know, don't do 5 days, don't do 3 days, don't do 2 days, just do 1 day. And it's going to be the last day, you know, of July on a Friday night, right? And we're going to have a two-hour program, and there's going to be a pre-party and all this stuff. So we feel good about it, right? And we're walking it out. And the whole time I could tell people, pray for the weather, people. Pray for the weather. We need good weather, right? Because the monsoons here, how many know they're a little odd? Yeah, it used to be where, like clockwork, the rains would come like at 12 and they're done by 2, you know, and everything would start all over. Now it's like you can have a monsoon in the middle of the night. You can have it in the middle of the afternoon, you know. So the Thursday, we're setting up out there, and it's over 100 degrees. We're like, man, it's hot. And so we made a command decision. Okay, tell everybody to show up 45 minutes later. Come here at 5:45. And so we'll start the program at 6:45 so that it's cool, it's darker, it'll be easy to see the screen over there. All these things will just come together. You know, that way people are not going like, man, it's too hot, I'm going home. You know, I can't handle this. We want people to enjoy it. So Fridays is the day that I prepare my message. And I'm in the office, I've been praying, you know, and then I'm typing away, and I was like, so what's going on? And I look at it, you know, it's getting overcast. It's looking ominous out there, and I'm like, okay, Lord, this is not going to look good if we cancel this thing. This is supposed to be a win, not a big fail. I say, this is not what you say. You told us we should do this. We prayed about this. This is not just an activity we pull out of our hat. So I began, Lord God, I mean, Billy, I got in there bold with God. I said, didn't Joshua tell the sun to stand at Gibeon and tell the moon to stop in Ahalon? Didn't Hezekiah pray, you know, to be given an extension of life and the shadow moved back 10 degrees as a sign? Didn't Jesus tell the storm to stop? Didn't Jesus walk into the boat another time and the wind ceased? What? God, I mean, I'm quoting the scripture back to God. And I'm getting bold in there. And I praise and say, God, the devil's not in charge of the weather. You're in charge of the weather. All the weather is yours. So if you want us to do this thing, we need good weather, God. Come on, I didn't get ornery with God. I was respectful. But I was like, God, you said. And my wife's calling me, are you seeing the weather right now? It's like, I don't got time to be looking at the weather. I'm praying. You know, I'm like Elijah with my head between my knees and say, look at my servant. Go look over there. Is there a cloud over there? You know? And I'm praying my heart out. You know, and all of a sudden the rains come and they stop. And then people are, you know, coming out of the woodwork to serve and to set it up. And it's like, okay, it's looking good. It's looking good. Then it gets really gusty, right? And you know that when there's gusts, you know, in a cloudy sky, it means the rain's coming, right? It's like thunder, gust of wind, rain. That's usually how it comes, right? And so we're setting up our balloons, and they're getting knocked over. We set up stuff, and it's getting knocked over. And I'm out there walking in the parking lot, Lord God, what? You said. You know, and the devil wants to get, you know, just fill my head with doubt. But I praise God. So I don't know how many of you guys noticed when everything just went still. And we had beautiful, cool weather. And we had people show up. Hallelujah. And they were playing the praise song. I was going, yeah, God. Yeah, God. Oh, you didn't know why I was praising the Lord. I was thinking, God, that He still moves today in miracles and signs and wonders. Hallelujah. It may not mean much to you, but it meant a lot to me. Because I fought for it. Hallelujah. We need to believe God for great things. Hallelujah. God's still in charge of monsoon. And guess what? It ended that night. Thank you, Lord. We love the rain now. You can bring it. Bring it, Lord. We love the rain here. Let it. My grass loves it. Yes. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And on Monday, we were at Victory Church at a, what they call the presbytery. They had prophets that came from Gateway Church, Robert Morris. And they were going to be ministering in prophecy. You know, we're in there, and obviously there's prophets from Gateway ministering, and the words come forward, and just confirmation after confirmation for all these leaders, and then there's words in season and words of knowledge coming forth, and you just see the faith level of the church begin to go up. I was like, yeah, this is good. And I'm telling you, I'm just going to be honest, not a whole lot of social distancing and face coverings. We're doing a lot better than that church in Tucson, okay? Let me just tell you that. But that's all right. I said, Lord God, this is not my church. I'm just here to receive. I'm just going to worship you, Lord God. And I'm in there, and something got stirred up, just like with Saul. It says, you'll be among the prophets, and something will get stirred up. Well, we had asked Victory to allow us to join them on a simulcast on Wednesday, right? So we did a simulcast right here. And we actually joined their prayer in Wednesday night prayer and worship service. And they gave us a shout out. Well, guess what? God's moving. Everything's great. I'm like, I got an easy night. I don't need to do anything. The ups goes down in there. And I'm like, people are scrambling. Sean and Tony are like, what's going on? So I was like, well, tap dance, get up here. Okay, guys, I gave them an exhortation. Then we went through a time of prayer because we lost the simulcast. It was just us. So I'm like, okay, I don't even know what happened the rest of the way. Well, I didn't know till Friday morning, the day of the parking lot party, that a word, a prophecy had come forward for Shiloh after it all shut down. And so I thank Ms. Diane Daugherty that told me, did you know there was a word for Shiloh? I was like, no. So yeah, you go in there. So I went in there. So if you watch their broadcast, it's about a minute 45. In about 10 seconds, they start, it's Pastor Ryan Burbank. But it's amazing. Prophets from Dallas came, then all of a sudden it stirred up the gift of prophecy in the pastors at Victory. Hallelujah. And then all of a sudden it stirred up the gift of prophecy in the pastor of Shiloh. And I was praying Friday morning after I heard that, and the God said this to me, and this is for Tamara. Tamara, you've been getting pressed like olives. But God's telling me you're getting raised up as a prophet. You're the next generation of prophets that this house needs. There's a word that God has put in your heart that you need to release. There's visions, there's dreams. I know you've walked in it before, but I'm telling you, get ready because we're going to need you. We're going to need your words to come forward more often, into this house. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. There's something when you get around. Oh, he told me you're a Deborah. Hallelujah, you're a judge and a prophet. And yes, she was married. She was submitted to her husband, but yes, she was a judge and a prophet. That word is for you. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Oh, when you go into a place of prayer, the prophetic just begins to get released. I'm telling you, we need the prophetic. We don't want a sterilized type of church, religious prayers, just repetitious prayers. We need the two-way communication with God. The Holy Spirit begins to speak because that's what really encourages us. It fills us with faith and the fight that we need to live our lives for Jesus. The world has thrown us so many lies. And unless we're connected to the Spirit of God, we'll get deceived. So let's be devoted to prayer. Devote yourself to prayer. Devote yourself to the Word. Devote yourself to prayer. And finally, number three, devote yourself to service. Devote yourself to service. It was necessary in that day for the church to be task organized in order to meet the challenges of the church. Our mission is to preach the gospel, to disciple, and also to meet the needs of the believers, whatever possible. Even Jesus fed the multitudes, right? And so the elders always told them, hey, make sure you preach the gospel. Hey, and never forget the widows and the orphans, right? Never forget the widows and the orphans. Hallelujah. And so the people begin to bring of themselves and bring their possessions. And it says they had all things in common. Acts 2, 44 and 45. I'm almost done. And it says, and all the believers met together in one place and shared everything they had. They sold their property and possessions and shared the money with those in need. Come on. You want to see blessing in your life? Yes, be a good steward, but also be generous. Give to people. And when God sees that you're all, whatever He gives you, you pass on as a blessing, God's going to continue to feed you. And that's how prosperity comes, is because it's not for you, it's for the kingdom. Hallelujah. And you're not even wowed by it, because it's not an idol to you. Money's not an idol. It's not for your comfort. God will bless you to be a blessing. Hallelujah. And when you have people and needs, you need managers, you need servants who have a specific grace or gifting for what God has given them. So James, the brother of Jesus, remember, he reminded us to have a practical faith. And it says here, James 1:27, pure and genuine religion in the sight of God the Father means caring for orphans and widows in their distress, and also refusing to let the world corrupt you. You want to call yourself religious? We need to be devoted to serving people. If you're not serving someone, you know, then you're not focused. There's haziness. There's a lack of clarity. I don't know what to do with my life. I'm telling you what the word of the Lord is. Devote yourself to the word. Devote yourself to prayer. And devote yourself to service. And I'm telling you, like it says in the Apostle Peter said, if you do these things in increasing measure, you will never be unfruitful. Hallelujah. You know, sometimes you're serving so much, you have no time to sin. That's the honesty. If you're in here doing something all week, believe me, you have no time to get distracted. And like, then you find yourself, oh man, all those things I used to get into, all the shenanigans. I don't have time for that. Let me still have a pull on you, but like it says, flee from youthful lust. If you just send somewhere else other than where you're being tempted, you're going to be all right. So begin to serve someplace. You know, there's benefits. There's relationships that get built when you volunteer. We need people in our children's ministry. We need people in our nursery. We need people, you know, in our cleaning team. We need people parking lot and security. We need small group leaders. And we need sound and media and worship leaders and musicians. We need all these people. Just be humble. Say, hey, I will serve wherever they need me. But you got to serve. You need to be devoted to serving. Hallelujah. It is necessary that we as the leaders bring fresh manna and that people can tell them with Jesus. So we need you, you know, to serve. Order precedes multiplication. Right? There was some confusion and what do we do? They brought some order. And then it says everything multiplied. God set the world in order, and then he told Adam and Eve, be fruitful and multiply. Order always precedes multiplication. We will never grow past our organization. If you're not doing what you're supposed to be doing, the organization suffers. God may raise up someone to fulfill that role, but that won't be God's first intent for you. There are things that God called you specifically to do. If all of us would be serving, then I'm telling you, we're going to multiply. And it's coming, people. What's going to happen when the people, you know, break loose from this COVID-19 and they're looking for a church? A place to be discipled, a place to grow. Who's going to receive them? It's going to be us. So we need to be ahead of the curve. We need to be already ready to receive them. We need to be waiting for them. That's faith. So God has called us to raise connection group leaders. And so we said it today. I told the pastor, he says, when do you want to restart discipleship? Right away. We're having the conversation like last week. And so then an email comes out. Hey, we're starting on Tuesday. I was like, I meant right away. I didn't mean like this Tuesday. You know, and so then we find out, hey, the elections, the primary elections are happening Tuesday. By the way, we're a precinct here, so people come in here to their voting. And so we're like, oh, okay, well, that's good. It'll give people a little more time. So not this Tuesday, but next Tuesday, we're going to start the discipleship, you know, process again, level one. We just graduated a bunch of people, you know, over 40 people, and we're ready to take the next crop. It takes a while, but just like every farmer, you know, we have to till the ground with the word. Hallelujah. There's some confrontation sometimes. You lay the seeds of the word. Hallelujah. You know, you let God bring the increase over time. It takes time, but eventually, the Bible says, it produces a harvest of righteousness for those that are trained by it. So I finish with this. Devote yourself to the word, to prayer, and to service. You're going to be too busy, you know, to sin, and you're going to build amazing relationships. And God promotes based on your readiness and his timing. So you need to be ready and in position. Just like in sports, I said, hey, if you're not doing well in swinging the bat and throwing the football and, you know, hitting the golf ball, they always say what? Work on the fundamentals. What I give you is not earth-shattering doctrine, right? Word, prayer, service. Word, prayer, service. Hallelujah. But I'm telling you, your swing is going to be more effective if you work on the fundamentals. Work on the fundamentals. Hallelujah. Go back to your first love. Obey that last command. Be a disciple today. And Pastor Jim brought a word today. He said, choose for yourself this day whom you will serve. Joshua 24:15. But as for me and my house, you need to make this decision today. We will serve the Lord. You can tell people, choose for yourself. I know you're my best friend. You don't want to serve, that's fine. As for me and my house, I'm going to serve the Lord.